Hello and welcome to another episode of Insights from Sightless Friendly Church with me, Lynn Davis, and Matthew Horspool. And today we are going to talk about coffee time. It is a very central after a service. Most churches practice some form of it. And the question we have today is how to make someone with sight loss feel included at coffee time. Because it can be a little bit chaotic and not always straightforward, is that right?
Yes, actually, coffee time is something that as a child, we never did. I would go to church and then my parents would just take me home straight away. We would never stay for coffee at all. And so my first experience of coffee time was actually one Sunday when my parents didn't take me to church. They were not going to church that day, but I had to go because I was in the choir. And so somebody picked me up and I stayed for coffee afterwards and didn't really enjoy it an awful lot. Didn't really know how to get anything out of it. I had the advantage of being a child. And so occasionally somebody would come over and check that I was okay because I was a child. But apart from that, it was really quite dull. And it was only when I went to Hereford and realised that while I was, you know, coffee time really is quite a big part of church and I really ought to start going. And I think probably I was in church as a person in my own right then. I wasn't just, you know, Angie and David's son. And there were people my own age, which helped. And so I did start to talk to people and start to realise the value of coffee time. But yeah, it was a big adjustment. And even now, sometimes, if there isn't somebody who I know, it can be very hard and very disorientating and just something that is very easy to avoid as a person with sight loss, really.
Yes, and coffee time can be tricky, even if you are in a church and have been in a church for a very long time. Yesterday, for example, I was in church. So we're recording this on a Monday. So I was in church yesterday and we had coffee time as usual. And there were a couple of people I really wanted to talk to for particular reasons. And I just couldn't find them because we had some visitors from Kenya. And there was lots of mingling going on and nobody seemed to be where they normally would be. And I was a little bit distracted. And also, of course, I tried having a conversation with somebody. And then I had somebody else asking me how I took my tea and which biscuit I wanted. So, you know, that person sort of gave up talking to me because that happened. And I wasn't fully devoted to the conversation because, of course, I could hear very well what was going on. It wasn't a problem for me, but it was a problem for them that I was not fully present in the conversation with them, which I felt that I was, but I knew it didn't come across that way. So yeah, coffee time can be tricky, even if you know a church pretty well. I'm trying to think back to my first coffee time as somebody who went to church in my own right. And that was, I was visiting some friends in Birmingham and I wasn't actually a Christian at that point. So even though I didn't identify as a Christian, I had grown up in church. I knew the Bible really well and I had, by all accounts, been raised as a Christian, but I was going through this sort of rebellious phase where religion wasn't cool and faith was just for lame people and all that stuff. And I mean lame as in boring, not as in disabled. So yeah, I was a bit unwilling to go to church and I went with them and it was lovely. First of all, I really connected with the music and the worship. And then secondly, I found everyone extremely friendly at coffee time and we had donuts. And I was like, oh, you know, there's so many things I like about this church. And yeah, I managed to find the same church in Edinburgh because this was a denomination. I can't remember what it was called, but it's an evangelical denomination. And yeah, that was my first experience of coffee time. But we get a lot of questions as well to our inbox, don't we, about coffee time. Could we go through some of them and sort of the most common ones and maybe address them?
Well, yeah, and I think actually probably it would be just as easy to go through the whole experience of coffee time sort of from start to finish and we'll just sort of get through the questions as we go along. Be a bit daunting. I don't know about you, but certainly I find it much easier to say, yeah, all right, I'll go to coffee time if I know that somebody else is going who I can talk to or who will guide me or, you know, anything really.
Yes, and that is one problem. And it might not be such a big deal if you know the church well, you know the way from church very well, but you might sort of find a way up to the table and get your cuppa and have a drink and then leave. But then and you're sort of missing out on the fellowship part of coffee time. So it depends what you want to get out of it, really.
Yes, but I just find the initial sort of, are you going to go up to coffee? Yes, I'll go if you're going. And then if somebody says, yes, yes, I'm going, then I'll go. And obviously, eventually, I'll end up talking to somebody different. But at least that person is there at first who knows me well enough to know what I want and how I take it. And if there isn't that person there, I might still decide to go up to coffee time. But just it just feels a lot more awkward. I feel like I need to be awake then, because then I've got to work out where the queue is. I've got to work out who's serving that day. And if they're not a particularly proactive person who's serving, they're not going to tell me when I'm next. So I need to work that out for myself. And then I need to ask, you know, have you got any tea left? Can I have a cup of tea? And then I've got to hope that they put it somewhere where I know where it is. And I've got to hope that they'll put the milk in for me, because if they don't, then I've got to try and find the milk and do that and not spill it everywhere. And actually, you know, sometimes it's a lot easier just to sit down somewhere and say, look, could you just sort this out for me?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think it depends really as well on what your church is like. Some people will have coffee time in the same room as the church services. Some people won't. And of course, that's going to make a huge difference as to how easy coffee time is going to be. I have learned to say to people, can I please have a cup of tea with milk? And if I am having the cup of tea standing up, then it's not really a problem, because then they've got to hand it to me. If I'm sitting at a table, I do like you do, and I ask someone to get it for me who is also staying. But yeah, so that can be a bit of a tricky one, depending on the layout of the church and the layout of the coffee time as well.
Mm-hmm. So once you've got your coffee or your tea, possibly even beforehand, there's then the inevitable question, isn't there? Is there anyone who you want to sit with? Where do you want to sit? Who do you want to talk to? And I just have no idea where to even start answering those questions.
Sometimes I have a feeling that people mingle a lot during coffee time, while other times people are just sitting down. And when people are mingling, it's okay, because then eventually somebody is going to come up and talk to me if I don't sit with somebody. But I have been in situations where I've been sitting down and I haven't had anyone sitting next to me, and I'm sitting down and I have a table with a cup in front of me, so I don't feel particularly awkward, but I still feel slightly awkward because I don't have anyone to talk to. And I feel like it must look a little bit odd to just sit by myself.
Mm. And then, of course, if you sit by yourself for too long, then people get used to the fact that you're sat on your own, and they think that you actually want to sit on your own, and so they don't bother coming over to see you because they don't want to disturb your personal space.
So a way to deal with that is to actually speak to somebody in the welcome team or in the pastoral team, or maybe a friend you have at church. So for example, if you've been sitting on your own for a few weeks and you feel like this has become a pattern, maybe at the welcome team say, well, you know what, I've been sitting on my own for X amount of weeks and I don't feel comfortable with that. So is it possible to get some help to sit next to someone, even if like it doesn't have to be a specific person, unless you know exactly who you want to sit next to and if they're there? Just sitting at a table with someone really helps, because it forms some new friendships, which is only a good thing, right?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that probably does actually need to come from a sighted person, if you like. In other words, not the asking, you know, you can ask or somebody can point out or what have you. But, you know, someone will say, well, who do you want to sit with? And you go, well, the thing is, even if I do know who I'm sat with or who I want to sit with, I don't necessarily know A, if they're there, B, if they're in the middle of talking to somebody else, C, even if they're not in the middle of talking to someone else necessarily, they might be sat at a full table, so actually you can't, you know, sit with them. And then you end up in this awkward situation where you sort of go, you know, someone then goes up to them and says, oh yeah, Matthew really wants to see you, and actually I might not really want to see you. It might just be, you know, it was a person whose name I could suggest because it's, you know, one of the few people who I know. And then you've sort of got to go, well, yeah, I'm sorry you disturbed your conversation. You didn't need to. I didn't really want to see you. But then you've got to try and explain, why did I ask for you then? And it just all gets very awkward.
Yeah. What I tend to do in that situation is that I will say something like, is there any space next to Maria, or is Peter sitting somewhere? Could I join him? Or, you know, if they don't look busy, I will sort of try and gauge from the asking. And I will say then afterwards, I'll follow up with, if they are busy or looking busy, I don't have to. I just thought I would suggest them because we do get on. But like, is there another table? Of course, you can't always foolproof with that method. But then at least you've asked the question in such a way that you don't have to sit with either Maria or Peter. You can sit with them, and it's desirable to sit with them, but you don't have to. So that could be one way of going about it. So one question we've got into our inbox a few times is, there's a blind person at my church and they never drink the coffee I put in front of them.
Yes, that's true. We do get that question surprisingly regularly, actually. And usually the reason why they're not drinking it is because they don't realise it's there. So someone will have sat down and someone will offer to go and get them tea or coffee or what have you, and that's fine, and that all works out. And they'll come back and they'll really quietly put the cup of tea down on the table and then walk away again, because by this point they're in conversation with somebody else. And of course, the person then just never knows whether the tea is there or not, assumes it isn't there, and even if they encounter the cup, might think it's somebody else's and so doesn't want to drink it because it's somebody else's. So it's always a good idea, if you're bringing someone a drink or anything, if you're bringing them something, when you put it down, to tell them where you've put it, even if it's really obvious, just so that they know that it's definitely theirs and it's definitely there.
Yeah, so let's just say you've done everything correctly. You've sorted them out with somewhere to sit, someone to sit with, etc., etc. Do not forget to say that the drink is in front of them. That is really, really important. And coffee time is just one of these things where you're going to have to keep communicating with each other, because there isn't really one answer fits all, because like we've been saying earlier in this episode, it really depends on the layout of your church and where you have coffee time and all of that stuff. But I think the key is as well for anyone with sight loss to feel comfortable asking to be sat with somebody that they know, or someone else they know if that person isn't there. Like, and the sighted person can then suggest other people, or at least find a table where there are people sitting. And also do not forget that they need to know when the drink is put in front of them.
Yep. And the final thing to say, of course, is when you're leaving, tell the person with sight loss that you're leaving. And that could be permanently, you know, if you're going at the end of the service, or if it's, I've just got to temporarily, you know, pop away to talk to such and such a person. But always say when you're going, because it might not be obvious, and then they end up talking to you when you're not there, which is very embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, because everyone thinks that's a comedy cliche about a blind person talking to people who aren't there. But unfortunately, it does happen with astonishing regularity.
It does.
As always, if you've got any questions or comments, you can call us on 01-858-438-260. You can also email us at slfc@torchtrust.org. So SLFC stands for Sight Loss Friendly Church. Or you can visit our website at www.torchtrust.org. From me, Lynn Davis, and Matthew Horspool, thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.